The reading this morning is from 2nd Book of Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we recommend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen.
We're carrying on. This is our second in the series of Christian identity. And we're going to be looking at the subject of servanthood this morning. Our text this morning echoes a bit from last week, from the reading from 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17, which we talked about the smell, our smell. Do we smell like Jesus, the aroma of Christ? And that aroma brings life or death. And verses 3 and 4 of our text this morning, we see the gospel is being veiled or hidden from those who are perishing because the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the glory of God. The good news is that the good news is being revealed to everyone, except those who refuse to believe, those who put up a block. Satan is the god of this world, and his work is to deceive and to blind those so that they don't believe in Christ. You know, the pull of money, the pull of power, and pleasure blinds people from the light of Christ and the good news. Those things that would say, actually, I'm okay, Jack. I don't need God. My life's all right. Thank you very much. Those who reject Christ and pursue their own pursuits, they've unknowingly let Satan into their lives, and Satan has become their God. In verse 5 of our text this morning, Paul identifies himself as a servant of Christ, because in verse 6 he reminds us of the words of Jesus. He said, "Let your light shine out of the darkness." Christ made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. As Jean has been picking up that theme this morning, the light of Christ shines through us. We're called to be lights in a dark place. Paul knew personally about the light of Christ when he experienced God on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. I wonder what Paul must have felt at that moment when the blinding light caused Paul to fall to the ground. I wonder what thrashed through his mind. And yet, as we know, it took 3 days for him for that revelation to come and to form, to know that actually God has called him. And he became an amazing pillar of the church. You see, we too can know that blinding light, that light of Christ in our hearts if we truly are followers of Christ, which means that we need to follow Jesus' example for us as we read in Scripture. I want to share, Michelle, we should have a PowerPoint. Is that going to work and again for me? Yeah, okay. I want to share a story with you this morning that happened in June and July of last year. It was about an assistant football coach who was age 25 and 12 young players that went down a network of caves in Thailand. Do you remember the story? Whilst they were exploring the caves, it started to rain and rain heavily, and the water levels rose and they became trapped for 17 days. The event was reported across the news and it became an international rescue effort, and there were over, the figures say, there were about 10,000 people from different nationalities involved in trying to rescue these young boys. One of those who offered help was this guy here, Elon Musk. Now, some of you may know the name Elon Musk. He's the chief executive of SpaceX, and which also includes the Tesla cars, the electric cars. And his company responded, and he responded personally by saying, actually, there must be something with all the technology and all the resources that are available at my fingertips. Is there something that I can do that would help rescue these boys? And so he set his engineers to work. And they built a child-size submarine. If you click on that, it should be on the picture, there should be a play button at the bottom there. Is that going to work? No, go back. Try clicking on the spare screen. It should pop up with a little play button. No, it doesn't work. Okay, not to worry. Anyway, this was a little video clip of them testing this small submarine. It was built for a child, and inside the capsule, a child could slide in. So there's a picture, if the video was working, that of them pulling a child out of this capsule. So they were hoping that this capsule would be used to aid the rescue of these boys. So Elon flew out with his sub. After all that they'd put in, and thinking, actually, this would be a great help to those that were perishing at this time. But they tried it out, they tested it. He trained those in the rescue of how to operate it. But they decided not to use it. They decided, actually, it wasn't going to work. Now, you would have thought that, you know, Elon could have taken it, well, I've spent all this money, I've put all this resource into providing a really good piece of equipment, and you're not going to use it? He could have walked off, couldn't he, and gone off in a huff, but he didn't. Instead, he decided to roll up his sleeves and offer practical help where he could. He didn't take the sub home at the end of the rescue. In fact, he's left it to the authorities and said, if you want to use that in whatever way, that if there's another circumstance that where people get trapped, then please have it for free. We have an amazing example of Jesus, his life full of service. It says in Matthew 20, verse 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus took on the posture of a servant. And we see this clearly in the account of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. If you go to the next slide, Michelle. Washing the disciples' feet in the upper room. I wonder if you've ever heard the phrase, a bond servant. A bond servant. In the time, it should be another slide, Michelle. In the time of Jesus and throughout the Roman world, this was related to someone who was the property of a Roman citizen. And to mark that they were a bondservant, they would have a nail placed through their ear. So nobody would ever think of taking them because they were the property of that person. The term bondservant can also be used as a term to describe someone who volunteers their service as commitment for life, to follow after. In the New Testament, the word bondservant is not there as per se, but it's implied, especially when it's used in reference to the person and commitment to Jesus. Most of Paul's letters begin by referring to himself as the servant of Christ. You've only got to look at Romans 1:1. James and Jude, and half-brother of Jesus, both refer to themselves as Christ's servants, Christ's bondservants. The apostle Paul called himself a servant and an apostle. The idea of a bondservant is that we should voluntarily choose to be a servant of Christ. In Mark 9, the disciples were arguing amongst themselves about who was to be the greatest. And Jesus turned around to them and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last of all the servants." In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and Luke 19, where Jesus told that those that had taken the money and put it to good work, we hear that phrase, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things." And we know that the servant that buried the talent or the gold in the ground got ridiculed and cast out of the presence of his master. To serve others means that we must be prepared to forego our time and our personal desires. Elon Musk could have taken rejection over his invention and gone home. But no, he was prepared to come and to serve whatever way he could to make a difference. I wonder, do we have the same attitude as Elon Musk or that of Jesus, that we're prepared to pitch in and to help and to serve, to honor God? You know, we're called to be servants of Christ, people to serve others so that they may see Christ in us. So my question is, how are you serving? Are people seeing Christ in you through the things that you do to serve? Are you able to lay down your own personal agendas and serve others? Are you willing to roll up your sleeve and muck in? Or do you take the stance, "Well, that's somebody else's job, so I won't do that"? Now, we could come up with loads of examples of how we might serve. A classic one today, and to form an orderly queue, might be to go and offer to wash up after coffee this morning. You know, we're all called to serve Christ, aren't we? By serving Christ, we serve one another and those in the community around us. Daniel 6, the story of Daniel in the lion's den. We know that Daniel was thrown in and the king cried out, "Daniel, servant of the living God, are you still alive?" Because the king recognized something in Daniel that would say, there is a greater power at work in him than he's ever seen before. And it was the power of God, as we know. He kept the mouths of the lions shut. You know, sometimes it's easy to stay in the boat. To step out of the boat, it takes courage. I'm thinking of the story of Jesus and Peter, where he invites Peter to step out of the boat and walk on the water. It takes courage to do something that's outside of our normal sphere, outside of those things that we would do naturally. I wonder if the opportunity comes to serve this week, and it's out of the normal routine that you have, will you step out of the boat and have a go? Will you roll up your sleeve and lend a hand? Or will you take that stance, actually, it's not my job? John 15, verse 15 says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That sense that the relationship that we have with God, yes, we want to serve God just as Jesus served us and served his Father. But because of the dynamic of the relationship, God says, actually, you are my friends. You are my children. You are children of the living God because I love you. You know, as we've lit the first Advent candle this morning, demonstrating that the light of Christ within us, as we, you know, Advent, that time of preparation for when we celebrate the coming of the King. I must admit, I do like this display. Do you like this display this morning? It's great, isn't it? Thank you, Katie and Geraint. But just that sense that actually it is about focusing on the light that came into the world, which is Jesus, but that lives within us. It's called not to hide it under a bushel or to hide it under a bowl, but to let it shine before all men. There's that song in the songs of, we haven't sung for a while. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let me serve, to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We're together on this road. We're here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you. Speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I'll share your joy and sorrow till we've seen the journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony, born of all we've known together of Christ's love and agony. Brother, sister, let me serve you. I think the songwriter got it right, that we're called to serve one another, to walk that journey of faith with one another. You know, some people might have that attitude of service being something that actually I'm doing it because of a kudos, because of an ego thing. But quite the opposite with Jesus, wasn't it, when he washed the disciples' feet? It was that sense of actually, I'm bringing myself down to where a servant would be normally to wash your feet. And I've come to demonstrate to you, this is what you should do with one another, to serve one another. It's not to make a statement, it's not to, but just to honor God through what we do. You know, there are times when people look at what you do or perceive what you do and you think, oh, it's an upfront ministry, it's great. But I tell you, upfront ministry comes with its challenges massively. Massively. But the best way to be a servant is behind the scenes. It's to do the things that people don't see. But the one who does see is your Father in heaven. It's not about putting on a performance or being in the limelight. Actually, it's about taking what God has given us and using it for him and for his glory, so that our light might shine before men, that we might encourage one another, brother and sister alike. Because that's what Christ has done for us, and that's the calling of what Christ has called us to do. Ephesians 6, verse 7 says this, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever they do, whether they are free or slave. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Serving one another is a way of enacting how we serve the Lord. Do we give of our time freely, or do we give it begrudgingly? I must tell you, this week has been a particular challenge with a task I agreed to take on, which was to burn a CD of the summer concert. Well, I've wrestled with this, and I've wrestled with it, and I've wrestled with it. First, we had to buy a program. That was fine. Then you had to work out how to use the program. And Bradley and I have been banging our heads to try and get our heads around this program to get it to work. And then we think we've got it sorted, and then it wouldn't burn the disc. Sorry if this is all alien to some people. It wouldn't burn. It wouldn't copy. So we then had to go back and work out, well, the file was too big because it won't fit on the disc. Anyway, so we've been working at this and editing it and cutting and pasting it and reducing it down. And then we get to burn the disc, and I give it to Maria. And I said, here we are, Maria, it's sorted. She takes it home and says, it won't work. So we spend more time trying to work out why it wouldn't work. And we haven't resolved the problem. So we're still in the place to wrestle with that. So I'm hoping Jose is going to help me out with this one. He will, I'm sure. But just that sense, you think, oh, actually, you know, yeah, I'm going to serve, and I want to make this possible for Maria. I want to help this to work. And yes, it's been a steep learning curve. But you go, Lord, it's tried my patience a lot here. And sometimes you find yourself in that position, don't you? Where you think, actually, yeah, I've given to this. I've sown into this. That's good. That's great. But it's not about how I feel. It's about what God thinks, isn't it? It's how the Father perceives what I've done or what we do on a daily basis. So that, I suppose, the challenge to us really is, are we in that place of wanting to serve God and therefore wanting to serve each other? And I pray that is the case. And I think on the whole, it's good that we want to do that. But let's not close the possibility that actually there may be new opportunities to serve. There may be new things that we've not considered that God may be encouraging us to look at. Let our light shine before men so that they may see the glory of God. That the glory of God may shine and the face of Christ be displayed for all to see. That is the challenge, isn't it? Let our light shine. Let us not be discouraged, but let our light shine before men. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we want to thank you for the challenge that you give us to enable our light to shine in the darkness. And that, Father, that we might have that same attitude as Jesus to serve one another, to be your servants in this place and in the community. That, Lord, as we seek to serve you, Father, we are serving others. And in that serving, we pray that they might see the light of Christ shine through us. Help us to have the right attitude of heart. Help us to be in that place, Lord, it's for your glory that we seek to serve. It's for your glory that we want to be your love revealed to a world that doesn't know you yet. Father, move amongst us, we pray, day by day. And Lord, where sometimes you're perhaps calling us to step outside of the boat, to step on ground that isn't familiar to us, to roll up our sleeves and to get stuck in, Father, would you give us that nudge? Give us that encouragement this week, that we can really make a difference for you. Wherever you lead us, wherever you call us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.